Welcome to the Shir Nebenezer Parshas Vayetzchanan. Wanted to discuss an Ebenezer tonight on the Aseret HaDibro, which of course repeated in Parshas Vayetzchanan. It's an Ebenezer, a long Ebenezer. I'm already going to do the end of it. The Ebenezer begins attached to Pasuk Hey in Perek Hey, which is the introduction to the Aseret HaDibro as they recounted in Vayetzchanan. But this particular aspect of the Ibn Ezra, again, is towards the end of his commentary. So the edition I have is printed on Pasuk Vav. So, again, you know, that's where it is over here. Ibn Ezra writes as follows. Da, ki das kol ha-kadmonim ki the hadibur horishon hu anochi. You should know the opinion of all of the earlier commentators is that the first of the Aseret HaDibro is the line that says, Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Hotzei Sicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. I am the Lord your God who took you out of the land of Egypt. That's understood to be the first term commandment is inexact, because of course commandment means a mitzvah. He was talking about Aseret HaDibro, the ten utterances, right? But the first utterance, the first Dibro, is Anochi Hashem Elokecha, which according to the Rambam, as we know, is the Mitzvah Saseh, is a positive commandment to believe in the Ribono Shel Olam. Rak hayoshar be'enai. However, according to my opinion, says the Ibn Ezra, Shemilas Anochi Einenu Meho Asara. The phrase Anochi Hashem Elokecha is not part of the Aseret HaDibro. It's not the first Dibro. Ki Dibor Anochi Hu HaMitzkaveh. Because Anochi Hashem Elokecha simply identifies, thank you, the mitzvah, the one issuing the command. In other words, as it were, the phrase Anochi Hashem Elokecha is simply a prologue which tells us who's about to say these various utterances. And the utterances themselves actually start with the next line, Lo Yielecha Elohim Acherim Al Panai. You should not have any other gods before me. Those are the actual words that are spoken by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu just introduces himself. Hi, I'm God. Lo Yielecha Elohim Acherim Al Panai. You shouldn't have any other gods besides me. The Ikra Amitzvos Hasher Pei Rashti Kvar. Right? And you know, everything else that follows after that are the actual mitzvot, the actual commandments that come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So be that as it may, right, again, Ibn Ezra is taking the position contrary to, again, I think most opinions, that Anochi is not considered to be the first Dibro. So then the Ibn Ezra is faced with a quandary. There are ten Dibros, right? I mean, it talks about in the Chumash how there are Aseret HaDvarim. There are ten utterances which form, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed in Har Sinai. So if you're going to take out Anochi, that means you have to replace it with something else. So what exactly are you going to do in order to make up the number of ten? So as we'll see in a moment, the Ibn Ezra's opinion, at least in Vayetzchanan, is that the two times that it says Lo Sachmo, you shouldn't covet, are actually counted as two separate divros. Right? And again, let's just review the Chumash a little bit. If you look in Parshas Vayetzchanan, so in Pasuk Yudches we find the Lo Sachmod Eishes Re'echa. You should not covet your friend's wife. Then there's a pause. There's a space in the Sefer Torah, and then it says the Lo Sif Aver Beis Re'echa. You should not desire the house of your fellow Sodeyu, nor his field. The Avdo V'Amoso, his servant, his slave, his maidservant, Shara v'chamaro, his ox, his donkey, v'chol shel ariecha, anything that belongs to your fellow, you should not desire in any way. That's almost identical to the way the pasuk appears in Parshas Yisro, except in Parshas Yisro, the verb, tis'adha, to desire, does not appear. Instead, both times, it just says, lo sachmo. Let's just find here in Parshas Yisro it says Lo Sachmod Beis Re'echa, Lo Sachmod Eishes Re'echa, V'Avdo V'Amoso V'Shor V'Chamor V'Chol Asher V'Re'echa. Right? It inverts your friend's house and your friend's wife, but again, it's also divided very significantly. It's divided up into two phrases in Parshas Yisro, the same way it's divided up into two phrases in Parshas Vayesh Chana. So the Ibn Ezra, at least here in Parshas Vayesh Chana, is going to take the position that these two Lo Sachmos, or Lo Sachmos and Lo Shishavah, as they appear in Vayesh Chana, are actually two separate Dibros. Now, why should we count them as two separate Dibros? On the surface, the Tzara is just telling us not to do the same thing. It's just expanding the objects which we're not supposed to covet. Don't covet this, and don't covet that. Right? So why would that be grounds for dividing up Lo Sachmos, or Lo Sachmos, Lo Shishavah, into two Dibros? So he goes on to say his Talmud. This is on Vayesh Chana. Umilas Chemed, the Lashon HaKodesh, Mishpareshes L'Shem Chaimin. You should know that the root Ches Mem Dalet, Lo Sachmos, can be explained in two different ways. It has two different meanings in Hebrew. Ha'echor, Gezel V'Oshek V'Kachas L'Acher V'Chotzko V'Onesh. One meaning of Lachmod means to take money from someone else in a way which is illicit. Right? Maybe out-and-out theft, maybe applying pressure to somebody to give over money or an object in a fashion in which they don't really want to give it over. But that's one interpretation of lachmod. In other words, to apply pressure to someone in some fashion or another in order to take something which doesn't belong to you. An example of that, the chach, lo yachmod ish es arzicha. Right, the Torah tells us that in Parshas Kisisa, but as Baruch Hu promises Klal Yisrael that when we're Ola Rega, when we go up to Yerushalayim three times a year, during that time when all of the males have abandoned their land and their fields, lo yachmod ish es arzicha. What is lo yachmod ish es arzicha? So one way to translate it would be, no one will desire your land. But the Ibn Ezra points out, that doesn't seem to be such a blessing. If the point is that when all of the males leave their homes to go up to Yerushalayim, nobody's going to want your land, nobody's going to desire your land. So that seems to be saying, says the Ibn Ezra, that the land is undesirable. And certainly that's not the intent of the Pasuk to say that Eretz Yisrael on any level would be undesirable as something that somebody wouldn't want. What it means, well, Yachmod ish es arzicha, is nobody's going to take your land. Right? That's what Chemed means in that Pasuk. Chatam Hashemi Loshen Taiva Beleis. A second meaning of Chemed is to desire something in your heart. Velo Teitzei L'Poel. Even if that desire is never actualized. So in other words, the root, lachmod, can mean one of two things, and they're really somewhat distinct from one another. Lachmod can mean to take money from you against your will, to force you to give money, to force you to give an object, to force you to give something, to take something from you by force. Lachmod can also mean to yearn for something, to desire something, even if you never act on that desire. Two considerably different interpretations of what the word lachmod actually means. V'hinei lo sachmod eishri echa ha-giver ha-revi, ha-shi'i, lo sachmod eishri echa ha-giver ha-asiri. So back in Parshas Yisro, when the Torah divides lo sachmod eishri echa, and then after a pause, lo sachmod eishri echa, the Torah is not just arbitrarily repeating the word lo sachmos twice, but those two lo sachmos actually refer to two different types of prohibition. One lo sachmos is, don't take something that belongs to your fellow by force. The other lo sachmos is, don't desire illicitly something that belongs to your fellow. That's how the two lo sachmos can actually serve as two different didros, according to the Ibn Ezra, because they're actually two different Yisurim. They're actually two different prohibitions that just happen to use the same word. So he writes, the proof that what I'm saying is true, that one losachmod means don't take by force, and the other losachmod means don't covet, is sha'amar Moshe the Sefer Hazeh shebir es ha'tzara, tachat losachmod, omar losisazah. That's why when Moshe Rabbeinu in Sefer Dvarim, and remember, Sefer Dvarim is the explanation of everything that appeared earlier in Chumash. When Moshe Rabbeinu in Sefer Dvarim repeats, quote-unquote, earlier parts of the Chumash, what he's doing is he's repeating and he's explaining. He's giving an interpretation to something that we had earlier. Here, the second Lo Sachmod is replaced with the word Lo Sishavah. What's losis aveh? That clearly doesn't carry the connotation of taking something by force which doesn't belong to you. Losis aveh, clearly, the translation of losis aveh, is not to desire something. So that clearly means don't engage in illicitly desiring that which is not yours. And the Torah in Dvarim and Vayeshanan leaves the first losach mode intact because that still carries its original connotation. Don't take something by force which doesn't belong to you. Now, so clearly the position of the Ibn Ezra is that we're talking about two separate Isurim, right? There's a, we'll call it losach mode and losis aza, or losach mode A and losach mode B. Don't take something by force versus don't desire something which is not yours. What is the object which you're not allowed to take by force or to desire? If we were to just read the Chumash in Sefer Dvarim, we would come away with a rather strange understanding of the three surahs. The Torah says, in this discussion, Losachmod Eishas Re'echa. So what does that mean? So based on the Ibn Ezra's interpretation, that's Losachmod A, which means don't take your friend's wife by force. And don't covet, don't desire your friend's house, his field, his slaves, his animals, or anything else that belongs to him. What would seem to emerge, according to Ibn Ezra, from a simple reading of the passage, is something rather bizarre, right? If you're not allowed to, you know, walk into your friend's house, grab his wife, and, you know, forcibly walk out of the house with her. Okay, I don't think we need the Ibn Ezra to tell us that, right? That's clearly awesome. However, the implication of the pasuk is, if you want to sit around all day daydreaming about your friend's wife, that's fine. It just says, losachmod. Losachmod means don't take her by force. But the verb, losisavah, which means don't mentally yearn for a desire, is only applied to your friend's property. You would think, if anything, the opposite would be true, right? In other words, the prohibition vis-a-vis my friend's wife would be not only to take her by force, but even, you know, to sit around daydreaming about her. And arguably, you know, when it comes to material possessions, to objects, then you would make the argument that, you know, it's far less than, you know, it's not so terrible if I sit around all day thinking, you know, my friend has a Rolls Royce. I really like his Rolls Royce also. You know, I'd like to be able to take his Rolls Royce for me. Look, if he didn't do anything, he didn't act on it, how bad could that be? But what's really terrible when it comes to, you know, your friend's material possessions is to try to take them from him by force. That's what you would think. But here the Torah switches it. So the Ibn Ezra is sensitive to this. And the Ibn Ezra says, right? So the way to read the pasuk is that although the Torah separates losachmod and losisavah into two categories, the various objects of the prohibition which are mentioned by the Torah are exchangeable. So in other words, when it says losachmod eishes re'echa, it also means and when it says lo sisave, it also means lo sisave eishes riecho. In other words, the two verbs attach themselves to all of the objects that are in the pasuk. There is, according to the Ibn Ezra at least, there doesn't seem to be any particular reason why lo sachmod is attached to one object and why lo sisave is attached to other objects. The main thing is that there are two separate Isurim, two separate verbs to mark the two separate Isurim, and all of the objects mentioned in the Pasuk are objects which would involve a prohibition of both Losachmod and Losisavah. So again, bottom line, You know, you can neither take by force your friend's wife or his house or his possession, nor can you daydream about how you would love to take his wife or his house or his possession. The Yisur of Lotach and Lotzisada apply to the same category of people and objects, but they are some separate Yisurim.
And making two derivations to get to a point to justify it being two separate, then it's much easier to take one, the problem is in that one.
Right, so the only thing is, when you make it one, so then... A, you're short one in terms of the Zidros, but also you're short one in terms of the Minyan HaNitzos, meaning, you know, if you're going to make it one, so it would sound like the only issa that you would have would be an issa to take something by force. How do we know that there's also an issa to yearn for, to desire something which my friend has to make it mine? But not necessarily. In other words, it's a big difference. No, if you would say Losak one below Sasaza. Right, so I think the way that Ibn Ezra is understanding is that in order to emphasize the fact that these are two separate Yisurim, it's not just enough to use two different verbs, they have to be separated into two different phrases. Because otherwise I would just say, by way of example, right, so the Torah says when it comes to a nasis, somebody who tries to induce someone to worship Avodah Zarah, lo sover lo, lo tishmai lo, lo sachos encha lo, lo sachbo, lo sachase lo. There are five different verbs which the Torah uses, basically, don't show pity to the nasis, right? Again, you have to understand so what's added by all of those verbs, but I don't think we count all five of those. I don't think we count five different isurim not to show mercy to the nasis. You know, it's repeated five times for emphasis. Right, but what you would say, according to the Ezra, would say that if you just said lo sachmod v'lo sisaver, heishas riecha, beis riecha, etc., you would think that lo sachmod and lo sisaver are basically the same thing, because after all, one of the meanings of lo sachmod is lo sisaver, right? In other words, one of the meanings of lo sachmod is don't desire. How do you know that lo sachmod in this context doesn't mean don't desire, it means don't take by force? Only by virtue of the two verbs being separated into two different phrases. No, so kidnapping means I take entirely by force. So what does it mean to take something by force in this context? So the Gemara of the Mishnah describes that losachmod is the issue that applies to a chamsam. What's a chamsam? So the Gemara explains over there, chamsam means that basically I take something from you, but I give you the money. Right? So in other words, it's sort of a strange kind of thief, right? He's an honest thief, right, if there's such a thing. You know, he wants to make off with the goods, so he wants to leave you the money. Or, to take another example sent by Postkim, if I pressure you into selling me something, so that's also lo sachmod. You sold it to me? Yeah, you sold it to me, because I stalked you for 5 weeks, you know, so you sold me the items. Well, finally, you just said, well, get out of my life, you know, here, you can have it, you know, and I'll sell it to you, leave me alone already. So, you know, things like that are not quite kidnapping. So, in other words, what would be the context of Losachmod, Eishes Riecha, in that context? I pressure somebody to divorce his wife so that I can take her afterwards. Right? So that would be an issue of Losachmod in that context. In other words, everything is being done, quote-unquote, legitimately. But, you know, I leaned on the person in order for him to divorce his wife. Yeah.
Don't take by force is an act. I mean, even though you're describing it as
having
like gun
points,
it's an act. Don't desire
is
like
thoughtfully. Excellent. Okay. So if it ever continues, let's just read the Ibn Ezra. The Rabbim Amru, he ain't up on the Machshavas Halev. The Ibn Ezra's mamash, she called him with Marty. That says the Ibn Ezra, a lot of people have a problem with what I just said, because according to what I just said, Lo Sisaza, the second of the two Isurim, is a prohibition on thought, not on action. And many say that there's no such thing as a prohibition against thought. The Torah is interested in our actions, the Torah doesn't care what we think about things one way or the other. the Ein Alam Chayv Onus, and God doesn't reward or punish us for our thoughts, only for our actions. V'yeshrayos Rabos LaHashiv Aleihem. There are many answers to this position. In other words, many ways to disprove this position. V'lo A'arich. I won't dispute them at length, but I will say the following. Rak Har Elohim Lev Choresh Machshavos Oven. For starters, for those who think that God doesn't care about our thoughts, only about our actions, why don't you take a look at Mishlei Perek Vav, that the heart schemes evil thoughts, says the Pasuk there in Mishlei. Clearly there's a discussion of evil thoughts, and that's considered to be something which God cares about. Hetivosa ki hayayin levavecha, right? Or the Ribbono Shel Olam says to David HaMelech, you did well because you planned to build the Beit HaMikdash, even though you didn't end up doing it, right? So that also in context speaks to the idea that planning to do a mitzvah, even if one doesn't end up doing it, is considered to be significant. V'lisharim v'libosa, in Tehillim, we learn about those who are straight in their hearts. In other words, if you think well and you're thinking good thoughts, that makes you into a yashar, into a righteous person. Humosha omai basal, the ficho dovol chalasoso, the very end of Chumash. Moshe Rabbeinu turns to the Jewish people and he says, the Torah is not far away from you, it's in your mouth and in your heart to perform it. Why did he mention in your heart? Obviously, you know, your heart is part of what goes into either performing this or failing to perform this. It's not just about what you do and what you say, it's about what you think in the end of the day. The Ikar Kol, this is a very quotable quote from the Ibn Ezra, in case you're looking for quotes. The Ikar Kol HaMitzvos L'Yasher HaLev. The main point of all of the mitzvos is to straighten out the heart. So in other words, says the Ibn Ezra, not only is God interested in the thoughts of the heart tangentially, but God is interested in the thoughts of the heart primarily. Because the main thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us is to have our hearts focused in the right direction. So the mitzvos are practical mitzvos? Yeah. The practical mitzvos serve to straighten out our hearts. But the goal of the mitzvos is to address the heart, you know, and the heart is certainly not just an afterthought. As the Gemara says itself, Rachmano liba bari, the Ribbono Shel Olam desires the heart. That's what he's saying. Ta'nezik ha'shogeg yochichu. If anything, you can bring a proof to this idea, says the Ibn Ezra, from the idea of mezid and shogeg. If a person does an aveira intentionally, he gets punished in one fashion. If he does the aveira unintentionally, he gets punished in a far less severe fashion. So what's behind that? If all that matters is the action, so then there shouldn't be a concept of mezid or shogeg. You know, I killed the guy. I killed the guy by accident. I killed the guy on purpose. The guy's not here. Right? One way or the other, it's the same result. If it's only result-oriented, so then the whole concept of mezid and shogeg shouldn't matter at all. The very fact that we have a concept of mezid and shogeg means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares. And we've got to a point about, you know, the machshavos halev, about the thoughts of the heart. Therefore, it shouldn't come as a shocker, says the Ibn Ezra, that there's an issur of los tisada, that's about the thoughts of the heart. This Ibn Ezra is of one piece with a very famous Ibn Ezra in Parshas Yisrael. If you don't know it yet, it's about to become famous because you're about to find out about it. So the Ibn Ezra in Parshas Yisrael speaks about los sachlot, which is, again, the only verb which is used in Parshas Yisrael. And there the Ibn Ezra asks, how can it be that the Torah would command us about something pertaining to our thoughts and our feelings? How can a person be reasonably expected to control his emotions? Again, that Ibn Ezra is of one piece with this Ibn Ezra. This Ibn Ezra says that there are two isurim. There's one isur to take something that doesn't belong to me by force, that's an action. There's a second isur to desire something that doesn't belong to me. That's an emotion, that's a thought. How can God ask to control our emotions? I mean, what human being is in total control of his emotions? So the Ibn Ezra answers with a very, very famous mashal. Says the Ibn Ezra, imagine a peasant who sees a princess passing by. Does
So if the peasant, in his wildest imagination, ever thinks that he's going to marry the princess, this is pre-Disney, by the way. In Disney, anything goes, right? But pre-Disney, so the peasant in a million years never thinks that he's going to marry the princess. It's just, there's such a difference of caste between the peasant and the princess. The peasant doesn't even have the wildest thought that he might marry the princess. Says that Ibn Ezra, if you really internalize the idea that what belongs to your friend belongs to him, and what belongs to you belongs to you, and you know what belongs to your friend you have no rights to, it will be as off limits and in your mind as the princess is as off limits from the perspective of the peasant. That whole muscle, you know, is working off, is of one piece with the Ibn Ezra over here, that there's an Isser of Losus Hava that pertains to the thoughts and the feelings that the person is expected to have. Okay. Does everyone agree with this Ibn Ezra? L'chora no. L'chora no. Right? Who doesn't agree with this Ibn Ezra? So, for starters, it would seem that Rashi doesn't agree with this Ibn Ezra. Rashi right over here, Moses Ava, writes, below Kerog, he quotes Unkelus, Afku Lashin Chemza. Right? The Isser Losachmod and Moses Ava are essentially the same. Because Losisavah is just the Lashon of Losachmod. In other words, they're synonyms. These two terms are synonyms for one another. Kimo Nechmod Lemar'eh, Zimitargaminon Zimiragag Lemechzi. Right? When the fruit of the Eitz Hadas is described as Nechmod Lemar'eh, right? So what does Nechmod in that context mean? It's desirable. Right? So Losachmod, Losisavah, basically the same thing, says Rashi. Of course, what Rashi does in the dress is, okay, they're basically the same thing, but which are they? In other words, which of the two options in the Ezra are Los Achmar and Los Tisada? Are they both don't take by force, or both don't desire? The truth is, if you just read Rashi simply, you would think that they both mean don't desire, because after all, it's difficult to translate Los Tisada as don't take by force. The problem with that interpretation is that the Gemara seems to make clear that the Isser of Losachmod involves actually taking something from somebody. Right? The Gemara talks about, again, as we mentioned, that Losachmod is the prohibition violated by a chamson, by somebody who takes something from somebody else and pays money for it, so it's not out and out thievery. Why does the Gemara have to give that example? The question is just saying, the minute I'm thinking about something, desiring something that belongs to somebody else, I'm already over Losachma. So if you're going to equate Losachma and Losachma, as Rashi does, and as Rashi says that Unkelus does, it seems to imply that the prohibition is actually to take something that belongs to somebody else. It's the prohibition of an action. So why then does the Torah express that prohibition with the words Losachma, which seems to imply an emotion? Right, so it would seem that Rashi is saying that although the way you violate Losachmod, Losachmod is to do an action, it reflects the desire that you had in your heart. Or as the Briskers say it in a different context, the taking of the object is the sheer entaiva that the person has. In other words, when are you over Losachmod? When you desire it so much that you're willing to go and take it by force from somebody else in order to make it yours. Anything less than that is not called to desiring it in the fullest sense of the term. When we pick up that denier, we'll continue, we'll see that not only do that and Unkelus seem to argue on this Ibn Ezra, but we'll quote another source that argues on this Ibn Ezra, but then another source that seems very much to back up this Ibn Ezra, and it very much seems like a major machlokes rishonim that we have in our hands over here. Okay, welcome to the second half of this year in Ibn Ezra and Parshas Voschanon. We mentioned the first half that the Ibn Ezra divides the prohibition of Losachmod into two,
not only are there two Yisurim, but there are actually two Dibros out of the Aseret HaDibros. One prohibition is to not take something from your friend by force, or to cajole him into giving it to me. The other prohibition is a mental prohibition. The first is not to be fixated on something emotionally or mentally, to desire that which doesn't belong to him. This interpretation, we pointed out, does not seem to be the interpretation of Rashi. Rashi says, well, Sakhor and Losisavah are really just the same thing, and Rashi quotes Unkelus to that effect. However, we should point out, first of all, the Ramban on the spot does seem to speak about Losakhor and Losisavah as two different things. Even more explicit than the Ramban is the Rambam in the first paragraph of Hilchos Gzeila Va'aveda. So the Rambam has a progression like this. In Perek Aleph, Halacha Ches, he talks about Hagozel es Chaveiro, stealing from your friend. Then in Ches, he writes, Kol HaChomed Avdo Amoso Obeso V'Kelosho Chaveiro. Right? A person who is homemade, I'm deliberately not going to translate that, but a person who is homemade, items that belong to his friend, Chodavar She'eshelo She'ikneu Mimenu, something which I could buy from my friend, right? And I basically nudge the guy to sell it to me until the guy finally gives in and says, okay, I'll sell it to you already, just leave me alone. Even though you paid him a lot of money for it, Hareza over below Sasish, Nema Losachmo. Right? So that's the violation of Losachmo. In other words, I took it for him by force, not physical force, but I applied psychological force to this person. That's Losachmo. In other words, every day I would send him a million emails, sell me the car, sell me the car, sell me the car, sell me the car. I have people dancing up in front of his house. Sell him the car, sell him the car. You know, and eventually, he says, okay, I'll sell you the car, leave me alone. Right? So that's Losachmo. Yud, says the Rambam, the third prohibition. Right? If I desire either my friend's wife or his objects, Kivan shechashav the libo heach yiknas over zeh. The minute I really think in my heart, how will I acquire this? That's why you see in the Rambam, it's not a fleeting thought. Right? In other words, the guy is scheming. I mean, that's what it sounds like in the Rambam. The guy is scheming. How will I be able to take this from my friend? The nifter libo bedavar, and his heart is seduced through the matter. In other words, he has a serious inner engagement whereby he's thinking about practically how I can go and take it from him. He doesn't act on it. He violates Losis Ava, the Ein Taiva Elo the Lev the Lvov. Right, reminiscent of the Ezra, says the Rambam, the idea of Taiva, of yearning, of desiring something, is totally emotional, is totally in the heart. Concludes the Rambam, Ha Taiva Mevi'o Lidei Chimud, Ha Chimud Mevi'o Lidei Gezel. The Taiva in the heart leads to chilud, to taking something from someone against his will, and that, in turn, leads to gezel, to out-and-out theft. So in other words, the Rambam very clearly talks about three different levels, you know, losis ave, losachmod, and losidzo. Clearly in the Rambam's scheme of things, losis ave and losachmod are also two different things, like the Ibn Ezra. Again, it's not clear in the Rambam that he goes so far as to count them as two dibros, like the Ibn Ezra does, but he certainly does count them as two different yisurim. So it could be. In other words, it could be that there's a difference between the Rambam and the Ibn Ezra about what are you thinking about exactly. The Ibn Ezra is just kind of a broad, gee, I really like that. And the Rambam is saying, you know, gee, I really like that. This is how I'm going to get it. That may be true. All I want to bring out, though, is just there's a commonality in terms of the idea that both this average is something that's in the heart. Yeah.
Very, very severe. First, if you have a scheme. And if you have it, it doesn't, then you can
Right? If the guy doesn't want to sell it to you, right? So then you'll steal it from the out and out. Right? The son of Lassam Amana Umanaul, and what if the owner of the object doesn't want to allow you to steal it from him? So then you'll kill him. Right? So in other words, there's a backwards progression, if you will, you know, from Los Desaiva to Los Achmo to Los Signo, you know, some version of Los Signo, you know, to Los Irtzach, you know, there's a kind of backwards progression within the Aseret HaDibros. Yeah, right. Comes the Smag, Moshe Mikutzi, one of the Bali Atosos, who also has a sefer on the Mitzvah, and in Mitzvah Losa, say, Kutznun Ches, he first quotes the line of the Aseret HaDibros for Sachmo, right, and he explains, you know, that what that means is to take something, you know, forcibly from someone else. Hashiyasa Maisa, he quotes from the Chilta to that effect. Well, Sakwa means actually taking the object, not just thinking about it. And he writes, the cost of Shom Od Los Disavda, the Torah in our parishes also uses a Loshen Los Disavda, Zakol Echod, but it's really all one, says the Smad. He then goes on to quote our Rambam, which we just had, Milchus Zelo Va'aveda, right, to the effect to which Los Sachmod and Los Sachmod are two different things. Velo Yitachin Lo Marken, but you can't say that, says the Smad. He came Kofu V'dibros Los Sachmod Eishas Re'echo, Velo Sachmod Eish Re'echo, says the Smad. Look at the way the Pasuk is phrased. Lo Sachmod, your friend's wife. Lo Sisada, his house. So, as we pointed out initially, that doesn't make, the Smad says, unless you're going to learn like the Ibn Ezra, and like the Rambam presumably does also, that Lo Sachmod and Lo Sisada both go on all of the objects mentioned in the Pasuk, the way the Pasuk is presented, it doesn't make any sense. So, my friend's wife, I can desire as much as I want, I just can't take her forcibly. But my friend's objects, I'm not allowed to even desire? That's the opposite of what one would think. So based on that, and again, apparently the Smad doesn't accept, it doesn't learn the way the Ibn Ezra does, that you can exchange Los Achmod and Los Sisada. The Smad rejects the idea that Los Achmod and Los Sisada are two different things. They're simply one, and again, here the Smad quotes Rashi and Onkelos to support his position. And in what are they? They are that you're not allowed to take something forcibly or to nudge somebody into giving you something against, that's really against his will. In other words, according to the Smag, there is no prohibition against desiring your friend's property, you know, in any way. Go ahead and daydream all you want about how you'd love to, you know, ride out up into the sunset in his Lexus. You want to indulge yourself with that fantasy because someday, you know, you're not doing anything wrong. Right? You want to try to take his Lexus, okay, that's a different story. But to daydream about, you know, riding off in the Lexus, even to make concrete plans to take the Lexus, as long as it's just in your head and it never gets actualized. So according to the Smad, you're not going to violate any prohibition. So again, just coming back to the Ibn Ezra, the Ibn Ezra is taking a stance with regard to a major machlokas or rishonim over here. The Rambam on the one hand, the Ramban on that seems to be in that same position. On the other hand, Rashi, Unkelos, the Smad certainly is very explicit about it. And Ibn Ezra is clearly weighing in on the side of the Rambam and the Ramban that Los Sisada represents a separate Isser against, you know, desiring something which is not yours. The upshot of all of this, according to Ibn Ezra, is really the last lines in the Ibn Ezra, that Los Sisada teaches us that God cares about our thoughts and God cares about our emotions. And as the Ibn Ezra so eloquently writes, it's not simply that God also cares about our thoughts and also cares about our emotions, but the whole point of the Torah is liyasher halev, as the Ibn Ezra puts it in such a beautiful fashion. The whole point of the Torah is to straighten out the heart and make sure that we think straight, make sure that we emote in a straightforward fashion. And in a sense, all of the practical mitzvahs are means to an end, according to the Ibn Ezra, to make sure that our thoughts and that our emotions are, you know, lined up the way they're supposed to be. Wish everybody good Shabbos, best of Hashem next Wednesday. We'll be back on with Pasha's Eikos.